This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, it is that time on a Saturday night. Esme Murphy here, time for one of my absolute favorite guests, Professor David Schultz of Hamline University. How are you doing? How is your wife doing? And how is your family doing?
We are all doing well, probably like everybody else. We are looking outside, watching it rain cats and dogs. It's incredible.
Right. Absolutely. I know that you have been busy because people have been contacting you, including Bloomberg News, about the laws, because we always talk to you about politics, but sometimes we also talk about legal issues because you are, of course, a law professor, about what are the laws surrounding quarantines and what are people's rights, that kind of thing. And you've actually written for Bloomberg News about this.
Yes. So there's a couple of different dimensions we want to approach this in terms of explaining the law. One of them is going to be, let's say, federal authority, you know, which means the president and Congress, national authority, I should say, versus what state and local governments can do. And that's going to be the first dimension we want to think about, you know, who gets to do what. And then the second question is going to be regarding what can somebody actually do. You know, what I'm referring to here is like quarantines and things like that. And what's interesting is, you know, in the last few hours, we've had this fight breaking out between President Trump and Governor Cuomo in New York regarding when the president said, well, he might put, what was it, New York, part of Connecticut, and so forth, under a quarantine.
Well, the cases there are just staggering. I mean, I have friends and relatives in the New York and Connecticut area, and it's 54,000 in New York, and I think about 8,000 or 9,000 in New Jersey, and then Connecticut, which has a smaller population than Minnesota, is up there in the thousands as well, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you and I didn't know each other until this radio show, but my family is also Connecticut, New York, and I've lived in New Jersey. So, you know, in some, we probably have like 6 degrees of separation somewhere out there that we don't know about or something like that, if we actually, you know, worked it through or something. But let's start with a couple of simple propositions here. And I'll start with the conclusion, say that it's not clear. In fact, I'm going to argue that the president probably does not have the authority to impose any types of quarantines, and that this is essentially a matter of state and local law. So I think Governor Cuomo is probably correct on this matter, that the president can't do what he said he was threatening to do. The reason why I mention that, we'll do some basic constitutional law. Constitutional law says that the national government only has powers that are given to it explicitly in the Constitution or clearly implied by it. That's proposition one. Right. Two, the president only has powers that are outlined to him in Article 2 of the Constitution or if given to him by Congress. And the reason why I mention this, there doesn't seem to be anything in Article 2 of the Constitution that gives the president the power to impose things like quarantines or other serious public health measures like that. And two, it's not clear that Congress has this authority and therefore that it could impose this, or rather delegate this to the president of the United States. So that's the first point here. Obviously, I'm simplifying the law tremendously here. For the most part, states, and when I say states, I also include cities, because cities get their power from state governments. States have enormous powers protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And those laws include protections for public health. Going back, and I actually been researching this in Minnesota, too, quarantine laws for both humans and
you've written about this in your blog, too.
Yes. Yeah. Quarantine laws for humans, and I should also mention for animals, too, because we do...
That's true.
It's true. We have quarantine laws for animals all the time.
That's absolutely right.
Yes.
That's right. Okay, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, so we've got laws going back to like the late 19th century in Minnesota, dealing with things such as what? For humans, like we had tuberculosis outbreaks, cholera, we had smallpox. You know, I mean, we forget about the number of infectious diseases that we've had in our society and the number of vaccines that have been introduced to successfully reduce the spread of some of these. But the point being is that we've got a lot of very old laws in place that allow for quarantining of individuals if, in fact, they are suspected of having let's say tuberculosis, or in this case COVID-19 or something like that. And the laws regarding at the state level regarding quarantining, mandatory quarantining, would require at some point some type of ability to either challenge the quarantine if you could show that you were not ill, or give you some type of, again, hearing or process to be able to challenge if you were incorrectly quarantined or detained. At the same time, the laws out there do give governments pretty broad authority, but not unlimited authority, of being able to address all types of sort of pestilence and nuisance. The upshot being here is that I don't think the president is right in terms of his argument. Governor Cuomo, Governor Waltz have pretty broad authority to address public health issues. It's not unlimited in terms of their ability to do certain things. They clearly could quarantine people with clear signs of an infectious disease. The law is less clear regarding how much they can, let's say, just close businesses like they're doing now, but I suspect the courts might give them some benefit of the doubt, at least short term.
Right. Absolutely. And it does look like, I'm just checking one of the New York papers, it does look like the president has backed off.
Right.
Because there was so much criticism about him imposing that.
Yeah.
And obviously, at every level, it seems like this is clearly being handled at a state level.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, it seems like the governors are doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. And this is this is one of those points where, again, the laws are generally well developed at the state level, especially New York. You know, I think we talked a little bit about this, you know, at one point, maybe a week ago or something. The state of New York, you know, because New York City, you know, more rapidly urbanized and got more densely concentrated, you know, earlier than most cities, developed a really good set of public health laws, a really well-developed set of laws dealing with public health types of issues. And so it's got a pretty good framework in there for being able to address these issues. And so for the most part, regulating public health issues really is a state issue. Now, states can delegate this to local governments and say, you know, New York City Department of Health, or Minnesota could delegate it down to Minneapolis and St. Paul. But for the most part, it is a state issue in terms of addressing it, where the main role that the federal government can provide is research, coordination, tracking data. It can provide resources, money, and so forth like that. But the real frontline work is really done at the state and local level.
Right, and I think that's something that we are seeing. And actually,
the real frontline work is really done at the state and local level.
Right, and I think that's something that we are seeing. And actually, just looking up this article on the New York Times where the president backed down on this order.
Yeah.
I am seeing something about New York City's 911 system being overwhelmed. I am actually over here at what we call the radio closet over here at TV, and I did just walk through the newsroom, and we did get a call from the police spokesperson for the Minneapolis police. Apparently this is happening to police departments all over the state and the region. People are calling 911 to ask information about the stay-at-home order. Mm-hmm. Please don't do that, because these folks are awfully busy. They are doing their work. Do not call 911 to find out about the stay-at-home order. We don't want to overwhelm the system, and we want people there for real emergencies.
Yeah,
there's so much going on that it's just, I think people are a little out of sorts. And I mean, that makes a lot of sense. To call 911 does not make a lot of sense when you're asking about a stay-at-home order when the information is everywhere. But these are tough times.
They are tough times. I was going to say, 911 is for what? Generally, life-threatening emergency calls. I don't want to say exclusively, but that's what we're really looking at. Now, if somebody calls 911 and says, I'm having a heart attack, I'm ill, or something like that, that's a different story entirely. But a general information one, you're right. There's probably just a oodle of places. I'm suspecting that WCCO itself probably has on their websites a ton of information.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's something that we all have to do and be responsible for. Let's take a quick break. I want to talk about one of your other blogs where you wrote about, sort of in the same vein here, about the weakness of the U.S. public health system, also mandatory vaccines and quarantines. I mean, there are so many issues here, and I think this whole situation is, we're being slapped in the face with it right now, and I think people are going to have to think long and hard about the way we are doing things in this country going forward so that this doesn't happen again. But let's take a quick break. More with David Schultz after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. Just looking